Lost thoughts in the universe out to get me.
So this week we did some restructuring, had a change of heart, and decided to go with Into the Future. Now, why Into the Future, you may be wondering? Well, we feel education is the gateway into the future. It's there to enable us to be prepared for what society has to offer, for what we can become, and for the various opportunities afforded to us because of the fact that we are being taught to get ready for whatever the future looks like. The reason for this show is because, as it should be focused on moving into the future, we feel we are not doing a lot of adequate things to successfully prepare ourselves for the future. Considering we do live in the 21st century, there's a lot more that should be done, that could be done. And instead of complaining, we would like to create a discourse, have discussions that can potentially start to create a shift, changes bit by bit. And we are glad that you are listening and you've been flooding us with questions about education and giving opinions also on what you think is the best way. Last week, if you do remember, we spoke about creating positive learning environments. So this week we're going to move away from creating positive learning environments, and we want to look at creativity in schools. Why creativity in schools? What about being creative? So we'd like to answer these things, and we're going to start by looking at what is creativity. Now, a lot of papers that have been published define creativity as using imagination to create something that might not have been there, sometimes used also in relation to being innovative. And that's great, but I feel that it sometimes causes a shift in the way we view what creativity is. Because people have to be inventive, there sometimes is a shift with the thinking of what creativity is, and it becomes limited and stifled to just being about the arts, being a singer, a rapper, being involved in theater, poetry. And we'd like to say, in as much as that is being creative, that is a limited view of creativity. Now, why would we say it's a limited view of creativity? Well, we go back to our earlier definition, and that's where we'd like to create the shift from. So aside from the fact that creativity is about being inventive and using your imagination to create something that wasn't there, creativity is also about using that in different aspects. So you could be creative in math, you could be creative in the sciences, and if you do think about it, we have perfect examples of that. The Wright brothers, if you all remember who the Wright brothers are, they're the ones who created the first aeroplanes. And that was inventive. And we say that was so creative because, well, thankfully it worked. But the reason I've used them as an example is, at the time when they were alive, that was lunacy. It wasn't what creativity is about. It wasn't poetry. They were not acting in a play, but they did create something absolutely outstanding. And we particularly enjoy that today in the 21st century. Now, creativity has gone various misconceptions. Before we get into a lot of the misconceptions, I'd also like us to add the myths of creativity. One myth of creativity is not everyone is creative, and that's simply not true. So creativity is not always on a grand scale, but to be alive, to thrive, we as humans are creative beings. It doesn't have to be that you have to create a plane, but you see, for you to be creative, you must be finding a way to exist in the world better than you could before. I'll give you an example. Before there was sliced bread, it was just unsliced bread. It just came out of the oven. So the person who decided, let's make sliced bread, was being creative, found a new way to do something. So we shouldn't overthink what the constructs of creativity are. And as we are looking at creativity at the moment, we're not even looking at it in terms of education. I would like to put it on a broad scale of just creativity in the world, and then we'll tie how we could be creative in schools. Another myth on creativity is the Eureka myth. I'm sure I've heard it. Eureka! In fact, I remember in high school, there was a specific class that should have been physics, where we looked at the displacement of water and how the gentleman, whoever his name is, discovered that if you sit in the water, it displaces a certain amount. And he went, Eureka! Where something just happens in the moment, you didn't think of it, a light bulb goes on in your head because of what you're doing. Now, creativity is not limited to that, though that does happen. A lot of the times that happens. I'm sure we've all had our own Eureka moments, even if they've been grand or small. The reason we say this is a myth is because there are times where you're sitting down or you are actively looking for an answer and the answer hits you, or you find the answer. And so it's not a Eureka moment. It's not like it was accidental, but you actually actively searched for the answer. So when you look out there and you're thinking, oh, good ideas just don't hit me, I'm not one of those people, well, stop being so hard on yourself. Eureka is a myth. It does happen, but that's not the only way you could be creative. The next one is the brood myth, where they say creativity is inherent. If your parents were creative, if your great-grandparents were creative, then it's going to trickle down into your genes and you're going to be creative. That can absolutely not be further from the truth. Like, there is no way in reality that is true. It's not inherent. Creativity is not something that just passes through your DNA. There are people who, luckily for them, the parents were musicians, so they're musicians, or the parents were scientists and they picked up on it. But it's not that it's a gene, it's just something that's been worked on, harnessed, and these are people who are prodigies, but it's because it started at a young age, looking at different ways to be creative in the thing they're passionate about. Another myth is the originality myth. Now, this one should be pretty interesting. I'm sure most of you are wondering, what? I mean, creativity should be original. Well, that's not really true. We go back to our example of the Wright brothers. Before the Wright brothers even thought about inventing a plane, we know Leonardo da Vinci was sketching plane designs. Even in the time he lived in, he was able to realize that at some point, something would fly. So for the Wright brothers to even be successful, there was a bit of a roadmap. So creativity is not always original. Sometimes it's just getting other people's ideas, piecing them together, and usually it comes from finding value and looking at how can something be done better to help improve a certain situation. That's why there's flying, because moving by horse and car was taking way too long. If we could fly across with no traffic, we'd get there quicker. So you look for a situation that actually needs improving. So originality is definitely a big, big myth. Another myth is the expert myth, that you have to have been in the craft for countless years. You must have been working on it for quite a while, and it must be something you're passionate about. The reason why this is a myth is because most times when so-called experts are looking into how they could be more creative and they get stuck, they ask an outsider to come in, listen to what they've got or see what they have done so far, and see if the outsider could possibly point them in a direction they're not looking at. Most times they're not. Outsiders who are not as experienced who have ideas that the experienced people didn't think about, because sometimes, I guess, experience gets in the way. you're too stuck on the fact that it should be this way because for such a long time it has been this way. So to be creative, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to start. Try something, see if it can be improved on, see something that you need improved on in your life, and see what you're passionate about. That is where creativity lies. The last myth I'm going to present is incentive myth. Now, this one is a myth that talks about if you're going to be given money, if you feel you're getting something out of it, there's an external incentive for the reason you want to be creative. That's the only way you'll be creative. If I'm going to get paid, I'll be creative. If I'm going to be told I'll change the world or I have power, then I'll be creative. Sometimes, most times, that's never the case. Incentives do give you the will at times to get out of your comfort zone and want to be creative. But incentives also create a structure in which you are now under pressure. And at times that stifles your creativity. So it's not all the time. And I'd like to make this clear. These are myths because people think that you have to be in one of these situations for you to be creative. There's no outlier. And that is not true. In as much as some of these things have been proven true, as we can clearly see from some of the examples I gave, most times it's not the case. And it shouldn't have to be the case. It shouldn't be something that stifles you. It shouldn't be something that stops you from wanting to be creative. And it's because of things like this, these little myths that stop creativity, that we have decided to do this. We want to look into the future. In 10 years' time, in 20 years' time, how would we like Zambia to look like? So if we ask that question, the first thing we're going to have to look at is, where is Zambia now? Where is the rest of the world now? What's the gap? When we ask that, the next question we're going to definitely have to ask, looking at the myths, is the fact that we can't use the same thinking that got us here to be the thinking that's going to take us out. We need to be creative. Creativity has to be encouraged in all forms, especially in schools. But at the moment, still just trying to make you understand what creativity is all about. I feel if we understand why people in the rest of the world talk about creativity with such passion, we would also be on a similar path to want to allow creativity to spring forth in our environments so that we can get new ideas on how we can become better. So creativity, like I said before, is about adding value. Creativity must have value appropriate towards demands of a situation. Now, what does that mean? Well, for instance, we go back to the Wright brothers. They wanted to be able to fly. It was taking too long. We can go into medicine. Tablets and pills sometimes are not always effective. So there's injections, there's drips, there's a cannula. All this happened out of creativity. Someone decided there must be a better way we can get medication in. There must be a better way to travel. They were looking to add value to the demands of a situation. And that's where creativity blooms the most. When you want to create a situation of value, you want to be able to assist and be valuable. You want to move out of a current problem because you feel better can be made, better can be had, better should be created. That is why we look to add value with creativity. It must have value. Otherwise, it's just another idea that most times they're not, could just end with you. But remember, that's still creativity. It doesn't have to change the world. It just has to be able to change your life the way you see it needing to be changed. So we need to encourage creativity. There's a test. It's called George Land's creativity test. Just to show you that creativity is not something that springs from nowhere. But society has put creativity in a certain box. And for us to become more creative, Georgian's test on creativity will show what we need to do in our society to change the thinking methods. So what happened in this test is that they studied creativity in different age ranges. So children of age 5 were seen to be the most creative, with 98% creativity. Adults were seen to have the least creativity, with 2%. 2% creativity. I just want to repeat that in case you didn't hear in the back. 2% creativity. It goes from a 98% to a 2%. That together makes 100%, but it's on the wrong place. So how do we move from being extremely creative at 5 to practically no creativity in our adulthood? Well, the test found out that as you go through the stages of different age groups, the creativity starts to slowly drop. Increasingly, it drops and it drops. The reason it drops is because in society, there are certain rules and regulations that must be adhered to. Rules and regulations kill creativity. Before you have an uproar and want to kill me, let me explain. I'm not saying all rules are bad, but, and this is a big but the fact that society has placed certain rules in our society, in our education, in our lives, in how you get to work, in what time you get to work, it has stopped us from developing free thought. The prescription is already there. The doctor has said, in the morning, you must wake up and take 2 tablets. You're not going to think for yourself and say, well, maybe the doctor is just suggesting I take 2 tablets. Eventually, if you're taking your medicine every day, you stop thinking about how many it is. It becomes second nature. And that is exactly what happens. When you're 5, the amount of rules don't really apply to you. And your parents just let you have fun. They let you go about and do what you need to do and experience the world. And because you're just experiencing the world, discovering the rules as you go along, you're very creative. That's why children ask the most questions, because they don't understand why adults want to do what they're doing. So they ask you lots of whys and how comes. And even after you've explained and you've told them you don't know, they'll ask you, why don't you know? That's because they want to understand why you're telling them, I can't have ice cream. It's as trivial as telling them, it's 18 hours, it's too late for you to have ice cream, it's cold. Why? Who says? I don't feel cold. These are the small things that lead to children being very creative. Now, this test also showed that for you to be creative in your old age, rather not old age, but as an adult, you'd have to be a free thinker by yourself. This doesn't mean go against all society's rules, but most likely than not, you are going to question why society is saying do this and why you're just doing it, or why people around you just follow suit. It's important to ask these questions. If we are going to be creative, if we are going to change the narrative, we must ask these questions. We must want to know, why is it that I have to do this and I can't do it like this? I mean, I would rather not tie my laces, but everybody's tying their laces. Laces must be important. I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to want to do something without understanding. But as you grow older, you learn not to ask questions. You learn to go with the flow. You learn to just ride the wave. And hence, creativity gets stifled incredibly. So what happens is, your mind, it's called in your brain, not your mind, in your brain, we have the medial prefrontal cortex. It is where increased activity is shown when you're improvising. Improvision is where creativity happens, when you don't have the answer to the thing and you think on your feet and you decide, well, we could just do this instead. We don't have a lighter. We need to make a campfire. We could just use stones. I've seen that happen in the movie. We could just try to use these blades that we have, see if we can have a spark going next to the firewood. Creativity. Because you want to be able to do something, but you don't have the tools. So your medial, I'll say that again, your medial prefrontal cortex lights up when you're being creative. It gets excited. This is where we know that you are being creative or not. But it's not practiced a lot because in society, there's not a lot going on with being, or rather with improvising. Now, most people might be wondering, what's the point? Why should I be creative? What does creativity do for me? Well, if you must ask, we have the answers for you. Remember, this is DC Talk Radio 90.9 FM. Your issues are our concern. If you do want to get in touch with us, you can text or WhatsApp us on 0761-061-909. This is MTN, 0761-061-909. On Airtel, 0970-413-909. 0970-413-909. And on Zamtel, 0955-390-909. 0955-390-909. Not forgetting social media, Facebook, DC Talk Radio, Twitter and Instagram, DC underscore Talk Radio. So we come back to, why should we be creative? Well, for one, you want to solve problems. Now, solving problems is a matter of creativity. It's absolutely imperative that you are creative as you solve your problems. Not all problems will come with yes or no. So in the real world, in society, you have to think on your feet as to how you can solve a problem. That's why you need to be creative, because problems arise every single day. How you tackle those problems is the difference between success and failure. You can either be creative or you can use the methods you've been using consistently that maybe don't work already, but you're stuck and you think this is the only way, this is what I was taught. Apply some creativity. You'd be surprised at what different results could do for you. Why creativity? Because we need to communicate ideas and values. Well, you might be thinking, I don't need to be creative to communicate. I talk every day. I can speak my mind. And that's true. You can speak your mind. But it's not all the time that your communication will be very effective. And this is where creativity comes in. You find a better way to tell your story, a better way to sell your dream. That way, more people are going to be influenced. Remember, when you tell me a story and then you tell somebody else a story, I might be interested, the next person might not be. But this is something that they could be passionate about. It's just how you have communicated your idea and your values have not been met with the same enthusiasm because different stories work for different people. It's almost like advertising, really. Not every advert will appeal. It's the same product, but you find Coca-Cola makes 10 adverts, same kind of advert. They switch it up here and there because they understand that to be effective at communication, they'll need to be creative. They'll need to communicate the same message in different forms because different people need to receive the message. Remember, we are all different. That's why we need to be creative, because people have to receive the message. And if we are going to move into the future, we'll have to apply creativity consistently because there is no other way for us to survive. I'm sure I've heard the saying, survival of the fittest. Well, does that apply in the 21st century? Are we going to go about beating everybody to be the fittest? Surviving, hiding under a bank, lighting a fire, saving all the tinned food with us in a bunker, hoping that we can outlive people? No, not really. Plus, that does sound kind of boring. So creativity, we must be able to communicate effectively. Now, how is creativity commonly used? Well, in case you're wondering if you are creative or if you've ever been creative, let's discuss some simple things that we do in our day-to-day lives that enhance creativity. Expression of unusual thoughts. Yes, I'd like to say that more clearly. Expression of unusual thoughts. We all have some weird thoughts stored in the back of our head. Now, no alarm here. We're talking about things that are useful and will provide value to an appropriate demand in a situation. This is where we need to know how to express our unusual thoughts. Sometimes you think you might be the odd one out. You always think different from everybody. And at times you want to close yourself in and think, no, I shouldn't think differently. But that's wrong. To be creative, you must embrace your differences. Our differences are what make us stronger. If we all think the same, really, there would be no iPhone. We wouldn't have music on our phones playing. We'd all be too busy thinking about the exact same thing for anybody to be innovative. So express your unusual thoughts. Express the fact that you think football shouldn't be played on a certain kind of grass. We shouldn't do this. You think it could be done better. Bring your solution to the table. Work on your solution. Express your creativity. Your unusual thoughts are the keys that are going to lead us further. Experience the world in original ways. This might sound strange because we all live in the same sphere. So if you're in Zambia and if you're in Lusaka, specifically in this case, for this example, if you're in Nyumbayanga, when you go to Kamis, you see the same things that I see. Right? No, not at all. How you perceive the world is going to be different from how I perceive the world. Where one sees an abandoned shack, another sees a dream. Where one sees a mast and it's just standing there with nothing that it's getting up to, another sees a vision. So you must experience the world in original ways. If you feel taking a walk is much better for you than driving, take a walk. See what the world looks like. Experience the things you want to experience. Understand that by experiencing the world in original ways, you equally show people that you could do things originally because you have seen them. Not everyone will see what you see, and that's absolutely fine. Perfect, in fact. You should be excited by the fact that not everyone can see what you see, because that provides an opportunity for a different conversation, provides an opportunity for you to show how different you are, for people to come in and help refine your idea because they also experience the world in original ways. Imagine that. More original thinking, more people wanting to experience the world the way they see fit. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Another, and probably the last one for how creativity is commonly used, it's going to change our culture in important ways. So this is for people that make a big impact when they decide that they want to express their creativity. This could be a musician, a politician. You might not want to admit it, but they're politicians that have changed the sphere. So they have changed the culture. They've changed how we do things as opposed to how we used to do them. A perfect example is probably music. People used to predominantly just rap in local languages in this country. And then we had Crisis Mr. Swagger himself. He was rapping predominantly in English the whole time. Now we have a lot of new wave artists coming through and saying, we're going to do this in English. That is because a culture was shifted. See, sometimes it's big, sometimes it's not very big, but creativity was applied, and it's important to want to embrace creativity. Creativity is not the enemy. It never has been. We need to stop treating creativity like the enemy. So now I'm going to pivot into schools and education and where creativity is being stifled in education and how we can possibly change that. I know creativity is a big, big topic. And as we go along in this show into the future, we are going to be packaging creativity bit by bit in different aspects, in different ways, as we look to enhance and better our education. So, one thing that stifles creativity in schools is the fact that there is only one correct answer. The world we live in, that's not true. That's how come when I left school, when I left high school, that was 2011, I wrote my grade 12 exams and I entered society. I was in a bit of a culture shock, a cultural dilemma, because what I knew is the fact that you only have one correct answer. When you go out in here, when you raise your hand, if you answer and it's not the answer that your teacher has, it's wrong. Go back, rewrite. But in the world, that's never been true. There's more than one answer to a problem. So if we keep teaching our pupils, our students, that the only answer is yes or no, the only answer is the answer the teacher is holding in their hand, it stops children with different answers from wanting to participate because they know, because they have been taught, you can only answer it like this. If 2 plus 2 is not 4, if 2 plus 2 is something else, if the shape you're expecting is something else, if the history question you asked is different from the answer that's given and you don't give it a second look, if it's literature and Antony from Julius Caesar was given a speech and you want to analyze the speech, but you have one concrete answer, it will never work. Creativity will be stifled. This is a similar question to the glass. I'm sure you've heard this before, but you find a glass and the glass is halfway filled. Would you say it's half empty or half full? Now, as you're thinking of that, and I'm sure you've already answered that, there was really only one answer there because it's either you're a pessimist or an optimist. And this was based on an answer of saying the glass is half full or it's half empty, which in itself stifles growth. You could decide there is nothing there for you. You could decide that the glass is just a glass and it's inconsequential to what you want. But because we are not taught this in school, we are taught that you must pick a side. You must pick the right answer according to whoever phrased the question. It stifles your growth. It stops you from thinking outside the box. And correction, as I said that, because here at DC Talk Radio 90.9, we don't believe in thinking outside the box. We believe in being outside the box. You're already outside the box, and so you act on the fact that you must be creative. You must create a shift and a change. Because at the end of the day, what we want is to get from where we are now to a better future. And remember, that does not happen by having the exact same thoughts that led us into this. We must think differently if we are going to get out of this conundrum, out of this quagmire we have put ourselves in. So, I'm going to look at key ways to cultivating creativity in the classroom. Remember, this is into the future, and our main aim is to enhance education. Whether it be creativity, creating safe spaces, we want to have this conversation. Hopefully, one of you listeners is going to come and join us as we have this great conversation. So, what's going to happen is, excuse me for a second, as I was saying, we want to discuss key ways to cultivating creativity within the classroom. And we're going to look at that after a musical break. Stay tuned to DC Radio 90.9 FM, where your issues are our concern.
Bruh, you don't talk for 30 minutes in a row. You talk for 15 and go on a break.
I didn't want to go on a break.
No.
Welcome back to DC Talk Radio 90.9 FM. Your issues are our concern. As Elia said, our WhatsApp lines are open and our text lines are open. MTN 0761-061-909. 0761-061-909. Airtel 0970-413-909. 0970-413-909 and Zamtel on 0955-390-909. 0955-390-909. Our social media handle for Facebook is DC Talk Radio. Twitter and Instagram is DC_Talk Radio. Now, before the musical break, and those were the sounds of B-Flow with Something About a Woman. We're talking about key ways to cultivate creativity in the classroom. The first key way is focus more on critical thinking and problem solving. Now, when you focus more on problem solving and critical thinking, you're going to allow the students to be able to come up with different scenarios on how they think the problem can be solved. You're going to give them an opportunity to use their minds by themselves, whether in groups, in pairs, or individually, but they will have to come up with an original concept, an idea on how the problem can be solved. This allows them to think freely, allows them to make mistakes, also allows them to become more confident in the ideas that they have. Secondly, and I feel personally this one is of grave importance, create activities that transcend traditional disciplinary boundaries. What do I mean? For instance, when you have courses such as science and you want to explain a science concept, you could either put it in a poem, you could make a poem so the pupils understand better. They could create the poem for themselves, which is going to enhance their understanding of it. You could use visual aids. You could have a play for one of your classes so that they can understand what's going on. The world has changed, and the way we must teach has also changed. Remember, we say children these days have short attention spans, so we want to be able to impact them at the highest level. We want them to be active in the learning process, because that's the only way they won't drift their thoughts, and they'll pay so much attention that they want to keep coming back and learning more. So you want to be able to create different scenarios, use different parts of the arts, whether it is the arts that is going to impact how the students learn. We can't keep using the conventional techniques and hope that they'll memorize and give you a regurgitative answer at the end of the school year. You want them to be part of the learning process. You want them to feel like when they go home, they can explain a concept because they made a play out of it. They decided that they're going to be poetic, make a song. Let them be part of the decision on how best to curate the activities, what sort of activity they would like to do to answer that certain question, or to figure out how they can best remember a certain theory. Don't be stuck in there's only one answer. Remember, we talked about that. To enhance creativity, one answer is not the right way. There's definitely more than one answer. And as teachers, as leaders, as guardians, as coaches, we have to be able to accept that the one answer theory will simply not work. The last key way we are going to look at to cultivate creativity in the classroom is pose questions and challenges. Then you follow these up with opportunities for solitude and reflection. Now, the reason why this is so important is at times when we allow for solitude and reflection of our students, especially with questions that have been posed, we allow for them to discover their individualistic tendencies. Who they are by themselves is going to be a great reflection on how creative they can be. We want to be able to encourage students not only be creative in groups, but to be creative by themselves. Give them the confidence that their answers can be used, that they can be creative in a certain manner, and they could work on that, expand, build their confidence, and want to be able to be part of the discourse to create a better world. The whole reason we're doing this is because we want to have a shift from where we are, the thinking that brought us here, to where we want to be, and the sort of thinking it's going to take us there. Creativity, I understand, is a huge topic. Even as I have spoken for almost an hour here, I haven't been able to fully scratch the surface of what creativity could do. And as I am getting to the end of Into the Future on DC Talk Radio 90.9 FM, I would like us to take a brief moment and just reflect on all the creative things that are around us, the things that we say we don't want our children to be part of or to get involved in because we think it's time wasting, but the things we at the same time appreciate and laud and spend so much money on, but for some reason we're not convinced that our children should be doing that or that it's safe enough for them to have a thought by themselves and be creative. Creativity, like I said last week, is definitely going to save the world. And we would love to be in the forefront of being advocates for creativity. We talked about the planes. Planes have changed now. They have improved. Look at telephones. Your phone now has a camera. Not a few years ago, but 20 years ago, you couldn't fit a computer into your backpack. It took a whole room. But look at you now. You have a smartphone, which is also, it's basically a computer. You have a camera. You have thousands of songs on your phone. You can watch videos. And this is something that's so slim, it simply slides into your pocket. With this same device, you can call home. You can load it with airtime. You can make video calls like the person you're talking to is right there next to you. This is all creativity, by the way. These are guys that took the sciences. They learned how to code. They learned that a computer was one thing, but it could be made better. Radio, for instance. Look at the shifts that have been there in radio. What sort of radio do you have in your home? You're probably just using your phone. Imagine that your phone comes to radio also. Creativity. We can talk about hair. We can talk about beautiful sports, how they have developed. But when we look at the world around us, the things we marvel at and enjoy the most are as a result of creativity. Now, again, take another moment. Imagine if creativity was stifled everywhere. Would they have discovered fire? Would we be able to realize that you can actually kill a chicken, braai it, and it will come out great, fry the chicken? Look at so much creativity in the smallest of things. It doesn't have to be a world-changing endeavor, but creativity should not be hampered upon out of fear. And at DC Talk Radio 90.9 FM, we believe creativity should be encouraged. This has been Into the Future with Shasho on DC Talk Radio 90.9, where your issues are our concern. Until next week, have a lovely evening.
Good show.
Thank you.
Creativity needs.
Big dreams for little men.